We're doing the Rosh on Yuma. We know that on Yom Kippur, a major part of the Musaf prayer is the recounting of what actually happened in the Beit HaMikdash on Yom Kippur. So the Rosh summarizes for us the Mishnayot and distills the Gemara to bottom line what happened with the Kohen Gadol. Now, the order of Masechet Yoma is chronological, as Tosus points out in the beginning and the end of the Masechta. The order is really, it begins from 7 days before Yom Kippur, how they prepare the Kohen Gadol, and then it moves its way up to the eve of Yom Kippur, the night before, and then the day before, and then finally the eve of Yom Kippur, and then finally the crack of dawn, the midnight to the crack of dawn, and then through his services throughout the day till Matzah Yom Kippur. And then the Masechta goes back and says, okay, now what's Asur on Yom Kippur? What are the laws of Yom Kippur? The final chapter is all the halachas that are relevant to us today. But the Seder Avodah is also very, very relevant, the order of the service of the Kohen Gadol. First of all, for us to understand what happened, and secondly, because we have a concept, Unshalma Parim Sefateinu, the Navi says that with our lips we can offer sacrifices, meaning when we recount the service of the Beit HaMikdash, it's as though we're actually doing it. So we do recount it in the Musaf of Yom Kippur, and now we'll learn the Rosh to understand what's really happening. And we'll start in the best place, in the beginning. Shivat Yamim Kodem Yom Kippurim, Afrushin Kohen Gadol. We separate the Kohen Gadol 7 days before Yom Kippur from his family. Shu Tzich L'Avodat Yom Kippurim, because he is the required person. He is the one that must do the service of Yom Kippur. He is the only one who could do it, the Kohen Gadol. So we separate him to Lishkat Paredrin. We separate him to a separate room called Lishkat Paredrin. And he's going to live there for the week before Yom Kippur. And we prepare another Kohen, who's the substitute Kohen Gadol, who's standing on standby. He's ready to do the service in case something happens to disqualify the Kohen Gadol, which happened. There was a time when the Kohen Gadol's brother was the substitute Kohen Gadol, and an Amoritz went to call him out to talk to him, and then he spit on him as he was talking, and the spit of an Amoritz is Mitameh, and so the Kohen Gadol was disqualified, and his brother was the substitute Kohen Gadol. He pinched it. He did the service of Yom Kippur. It did happen that the Kohen Gadol was disqualified even on Yom Kippur. No. And also there's a pressure factor. If he knows that he's not indispensable, we have a substitute ready, he's going to be more careful, the Gemara says. So that's another psychological factor that he should know there is someone else out there. There's competition. Competition. Even though he must be married to do the service of Yom Kippur, we don't prepare a substitute wife. We're not worried his wife will suddenly drop dead. And during that week, he does all the service of the Tamid sacrifice so that he'll be accustomed to the services. And the elders of the court read before him every day. They review with him what's going to be the order of business, what's he going to do on Yom Kippur. Hakol argilo, that's all to get him accustomed, shemashachach shum davar ma'aseder, in case maybe he forgot something. Ve'erev Yom Kippur shacharit ma'amidin oto b'shar ha'mizrach. And on the eve of Yom Kippur, in the morning, before Yom Kippur, we stand him on the eastern gate, u'mavirin lefanav parim ve'elim u'kvasim, and we pass before him cows and rams and goats, kedei she'iten elibo avodat ha'parim ve'elim, so that he mentally review what's he going to do with the cows? What's he going to do with the rams? But what about the sa'ir, that type of goat? We wouldn't pass before him. We don't want him to remember the sin and that'll cause him to have a faint heart. What? That's the sa'ir. The sa'ir is what's going to carry all of Israel's sins out to the desert. So you'll tell me, wait a second, but the cow is also there to repent on the sins of the Kohen and his family and the other Kohanim. The cow is really there to atone for the Kohanim. The Kohanim are his family. and he knows where they're holding, so he's not so worried. And if someone sins, so he knows, he talks to the person and he helps him do tshuva. But the goat is going to come over the sins of everyone. He doesn't know everyone. So he starts getting worried. I'm going to have the responsibility of everyone on that goat. We don't want to get him worried. He's going to think about how many sins that goat's going to have to carry. That week that he was in preparation, that he was separated from everyone, they'd let him eat and drink whatever he wanted. But on the day before Yom Kippur, they wouldn't let him eat a lot. Because if he eats a lot, he might sleep the night of Yom Kippur, and then he might have an emission, and then he'll be disqualified. Two nights before he could go to mikveh and be tohor for Yom Kippur. If he has an emission the night of Yom Kippur, it's over. The morning before Yom Kippur, they wouldn't let him eat a lot. The day before Yom Kippur. Because the night of Yom Kippur, he wouldn't sleep at all. And we don't want him to have eaten a lot, and that brings on sleep. He eats, but not heavy foods and not a lot. We also prevent him from eating things that increase one's seed. For example, cheese and eggs and old white wine. So these are things that we say are positive things for a person to eat when he's osik in the mitzvah through or vu. And these are things that every person should refrain from eating before Yom Kippur. We don't eat cheese and eggs and old white wine if we have other foods on the eve of Yom Kippur, because no one wants to see carry the night of Yom Kippur. So the elders of the courts give him over to the elders of the Kohanim, and they take him to Lishkas Avtinas, Shesham Efatmin Taktoret. That's where they actually prepare the ktores, the special spices that he's going to offer inside the Holy of Holies. Lilamdo Chafina, and over there they go into that chamber, and there they're going to teach him how he actually has to take the ktores, because the ktores on Yom Kippur, he takes two handfuls, and there's a special way he has to take it and spread it out over the coals. Shim avodot hakashot shebamikdash, because that's one of the hardest tasks in the temple, knowing exactly how to take the correct amount within the palms of his hands, the correct amount of the ktores. Umashbi'in oto. Now, once the elders of the Kohanim have him, so they are messengers of the courts, and they make him take a vow, shelo yishaneh ba'avodot, that he won't change from our tradition of how to do the service. Because they were concerned, maybe he's a Sadducee, maybe he won't do according to tradition. And we will learn later on that the Sadducees would change the way they do the ktores. They would pour the ktores on the coals prior to entering the Holy of Holies. Different from our tradition. Our tradition is that when it says kivanan ere ala kaporet, it doesn't mean that there must be a cloud of smoke prior to entering the Holy of Holies, but on the contrary, he is to put the ktores on the coals inside the Holy of Holies. Lekachesh biyuhu, that's why they made him promise that he won't change from what they taught him. V'u poreshu bucheh, so the Kohen Gadol would turn around and cry, shechashdu b'tzduki, they suspect that he's a Sadducee. And then porshinu v'chin, and they turn around and cry, shehu tzichin lechoshdo, that here the courts obligated them to be wary and suspect maybe he's a Sadducee, and they have to cry because shechoshed b'ksharim lokeh b'gufo. If one suspects someone who's kosher, and he suspects that he's done something wrong, we have a tradition that that person will suffer bodily harm. And so the elders of the Kohanim, even though they were doing their job, they would weep in fear. Here they have to suspect, and yet they're worried what's going to happen to them now that they did. If he was a chacham, if he was a rabbi, so he was accustomed to giving speeches, so all night long he'd be giving a speech. That's a good way to stay awake. Olikot korev, he wasn't so smart, he only knew how to learn Tanakh, so he'd be teaching Tanakh. And if he's not accustomed to give speeches or read Tanakh, like the period of the Second Temple, where people would use their political clout in order to attain the position of Kohen Gadol, so then sometimes you had Kohanim Gdolim who were not learned. And then what they do is the rabbis would give speeches and read before in books of Tanakh things that will draw his attention. For example, they teach him the book of Job, Ezra, Devarayomim, Daniel. These are things that he'll have an easy time focusing on, and he won't come to sleep. The stories in Devarayomim, not the names. Well, maybe they knew how to teach the names. You know, they had a tradition in Devarayomim. We don't have a tradition, so we don't know what the names stand for. But really, there are places in the Talmud where the Talmud expands on the names and tells us whole stories on each pasuk. So maybe they knew how to expand on Devarayomim, and then it became a fantastic storybook. Each name represents a different story. If he tried falling asleep, they'd snap their fingers next to his ear. And then they'd go with him for a walk on the stone floor with his bare feet. So that would keep him up. They'd keep him occupied till it came time to slaughter the morning sacrifice of Tamid. They would remove the ashes from the external altar on Yom Kippur. Even though on an average day they would only remove the ashes when the rooster crows, here they'd start earlier because the Kohen Gadol is weak. They want to get things rolling early. Riva held that it doesn't even have to be the Kohen Gadol who did it, so they'd let a regular Kohen remove the ashes. That's not part of the service of the day. So you let a regular Kohen do it. Rav Elchanan holds that no, and that's how the Rambam paskins, that the Kohen Gadol must be the one to remove the ashes. So he would sanctify his hands and feet and then remove the ashes. Can we continue, or we have to call it quits now? You have kach? We're doing the order of the service of Yom Kippur. When the time came for slaughtering the morning sacrifice, what was the time? When you'd look to the east and you saw light on the eastern front. So they'd take the Kohen Gadol down to what's called Beit HaTvila, where he'd immerse himself, his first immersion. There were the first immersion and the next four, meaning the Kohen Gadol would go to immerse himself five times on Yom Kippur, and he would have 10 times that he'd wash his hands and feet. Each time he'd wash his hands and feet prior to the Tvila and after the Tvila. Now, the first Tvila is still in a place that's not Kodesh, because he's not yet ready to go into the Kodesh, and the next four are going to be in the Kodesh. Now, they take the Kohen Gadol down to Beit HaTvila. They'd spread a linen blanket between him and the people. There was a huge congregation. People would come to partake, to witness what they could of the Avodah of Yom Kippur. So that he would be reminded today's different. He's not going to wear his regular fancy clothing. He's going to wear linen clothing. So they'd spread a linen blanket between him and the people. This first immersion, as we said earlier, was not in a holy place, but this was the first immersion. Like any Kohen who would have to enter the temple, he'd have to immerse himself. Any person who would enter the temple to do work any morning would have to toivel himself, go to the mikveh. Pashat gadav, he'd remove his clothes, v'taval, he'd go down to the mikveh, v'alav v'nistapag, he'd come out and dry himself. They brought him his regular clothing, which are called bigdei zahav, because in those clothing you also had strings of gold. You also had the gold, what you call it, the tzitz, but I don't know what you call it in English. The headband, okay? V'levash, he wore his regular clothing, v'kidesh yadav v'raglav, he'd sanctify his hands and feet, mikiton shel zahav, from a gold vessel, v'lo ayakan, Kiddush b'pshita, In this instance, he would not sanctify his hands and feet when he removed his clothing, because the clothing he removed were his regular weekday clothing. We have a tradition that the Kohen Gadol would wash his hands and feet twice, one when he removed his clothing and one when he put on his clothing. So the Bach over here has a comment. נכתב בצידו כלומר, דאילו אבו תרוויו על וישה משום לבישת בגדים המתחלפים תחת ראשונים, כי דקסל כעדייתן מעיקרה. Originally the Gemara thought that he comes out of the mikvah, he sanctifies his hands and feet, puts on the new garments, and then sanctifies his hands and feet again after putting on the new garments. If that were so, then havibayin tre kidushe, then on the first tefillah, he would also have to sanctify his hands and feet. The abigdei kodesh uba lilbosh, because he's wearing holy clothing. Aval lemay dekamel andani trei kiddush echad apshita vechad alvisha. But according to the way the conclusion of the Gemara concludes that the reason he'd sanctify his hands and feet twice was once after removing holy clothing and once after putting on holy clothing. Well, now he's not removing holy clothing. He's removing his weekday clothing to start the service. So then he doesn't have to sanctify his hands and feet here in this instance. After he removed his clothes, he removes his clothes, goes down to mikveh, comes out, puts on the holy clothing, and only then sanctifies his hands and feet. Lat. I don't know the exact explanation. The Gemara says that after removing or after putting on holy clothes, you have to wash your hands and feet. What the logic behind it is, I don't know.
I don't know. Only his holy clothing or any holy clothing?
No. Only here. Only here. See, I don't remember that there's an explanation, but maybe there is and I don't remember. One second.
All the times we talk about washing, is it after you come in contact with something or something less, maybe less holy?
Well, here it's kedusha, it's not tahara. I don't remember. Maybe I don't remember.
Rob, is this your cup?
No.
Would you like a cup of water?
I have down there. Todaoma. I don't remember. Todaoma. I don't remember. Maybe it is explained. I don't remember. I don't want to take the time now. Let's move forward. Maybe later we'll get a chance to look it up. I don't remember. Okay, onward. Or.